Murray.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the long-horn cattle sings a melody.
America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antone, where in dreams I live with a memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found beside the Alamo enchantment strange as the blue up above, a moonlit path that only she would know. Still hears my broken song of love. Moon in all its splendor, know only my heart. Call back my rose, rose of San Antone. Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own. Broken song, empty words I know, still lives in my heart all alone. For that moonlit path by the Alamo, and rose, my rose of San Antone. Empty words I know, still lives in my heart all alone. For that moonlit path by the Alamo, and rose, my rose of San Antone.
Well, have it there, folks. Come right on in. The party's just beginning.
If they say that I'm not playing fair, dear, don't believe a word they say. If they say I'm running here and there, dear, don't believe a word they say. Silly little rumors bring a teardrop to the eye. And I've noticed lately that your eyes are never dry. Seeing is believing, so my darling, don't believe a word they say.
Hey, excuse me, Mr. Artery, but you know what day tomorrow is?
Sure, it's Sunday.
No, no. For your information, it's also Father's Day.
Well, well, good for Dad.
Yeah, as a consequence, and in honor of the occasion, I have read a poem.
I might have known. Well, what do you call it?
I call it Poor Pop. It's poem. See, it's blanket verse. I wrote it in bed. It goes like this. It says, from border to border and coast to coast, tomorrow is Father's Day. But all poor Papa ever gets is the bills from Mother's Day.
Well, thank you, Henry Wadsworth Buttram.
Hey, that reminds me of my Papa Buttram.
Yeah?
He's a railroad engineer, you know.
What was you, his first wreck?
Now, look here, Buttram. After what I saw you trying to do this morning, believe me, you ain't got no room for no wisecrack.
Oh, well,
and just what was Pat trying to do this morning, Johnny?
Oh, don't tell him.
Send his papa a Father's Day telegram.
Oh.
Only he didn't have no money as usual.
Well, that's nothing new. He never has money.
Oh.
How'd he make out?
Not so good. The clerk told him it cost him 10 cents a word with no charge for the signature.
So?
Well, so I asked him if it cost me anything just to send my signature, nothing else.
What did he say to that?
Well, I guess he thought I was kidding. Anyway, he said, no, it won't cost you a cent. And that's where I put one over on him.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. How?
Well, I said, I might not look it, but I'm part Indian. And my name is Big Chief Pat Wisham Pop Happy Father's Day Buttram.
I'll bet that really went over big.
Well, not very.
I got news for you. Neither did the joke, kid. Better read that one again.
Seriously, though, Mr. Artery, tomorrow being Father's Day, and I thought in conclusion, that means I'm about through, so everybody get ready to applaud here. In conclusion,
yes.
I'm kind of winding things up with a word of cheer to all the young fathers coming along.
Well, now that's mighty, mighty thoughtful of you, Patrick, old boy. What do you want to say?
Just this. When you've been walking all night with the baby, and you're down to your last lullaby song, just be glad you don't live in Alaska where the nights is 6 months long.
For you in all my dreams.
dream of ours that we once knew. When I awake, of you I'll ponder. Each day you wander, I'll wait for you.
Thank you, friends. Many, many thanks. And now, since once more it's storytelling time here at Melody Ranch, I thought I'd go back quite a few years and tell you a yarn about one of the nicest guys I ever worked for. His name was Charlie Duncan, and he owned the Square D Ranch, just a few miles the other side of town. That is, he did, until his doctor told him he'd have to sell his place and head for a drier climate if he wanted to live. That was in May. Late in the afternoon of June the 25th, almost 6 weeks later, he sent word down to the bunkhouse that he wanted to see me right away.
Come in.
Well, hi, Charlie. Sim said you wanted to see me.
Yes, I do, son. Come on in. Gene, this is Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips, this is my foreman, Gene Autry.
Glad to know you, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Autry. I came here prepared to carry out a business transaction. However, since Mr. Duncan seems to feel the necessity of your presence...
Well, like I told you before, Mr. Phillips, Gene's been with me a long time. I respect his judgment even more than I do my own.
In that case, I'm certain my client's offer for your property will be equally satisfactory to both of you.
And, just exactly what is your client's offer, Mr. Phillips?
Well, first, suppose you tell me what you're asking.
Well, I had hoped to get $75,000, but now...
Never mind going any further, Mr. Duncan. That figure will be most satisfactory. Let us therefore consider the transaction closed.
Well, Mr. Phillips, why, you haven't even been over the land yet.
I came here to buy a ranch, sir, not to quibble about details. I'll have a check in full ready for you in the morning. The new owner wants to take over at once.
Well, sir, I've seen a lot of crazy business deals in my time, but this one took the cake. Nevertheless, early the next morning, Charlie and I met with Lawyer Phillips at his hotel room in town. 20 minutes later, when he was assured all the title papers were in order, he reached into his briefcase, took out an envelope, counted out $75,000 in cash, handed it to Charlie, and accepted the receipt.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. And now that our transaction has been completed, Mr. Stevens, my client, has asked me to advise you, Mr. Autry, that no changes in ranch personnel will be made at this time.
That'll be good news to the boys, Mr. Phillips. They were getting a little worried.
By the way, just who is this Mr. Stevens?
Mr. Stevens is a retired businessman, Mr. Duncan. He's worked hard all his life and now wants only a place to seclude himself so that he may rest and take things easy.
Any idea when we can expect him?
What's wrong with right now?
You mean...
What's the matter, Mr. Duncan? You look disappointed.
I thought you said your client was a retired businessman, Mr. Phillips.
So I quit working early, cowboy. What's the difference? I'm still tired and I need a rest. Oh, yeah, there's one other thing. As my foreman, it'll be your job to make sure I don't see nobody. Don't meet nobody or talk to nobody. I'll leave the ranch in part up to you. If you need more money, let me know. But other than that, don't bother me.
And so late that same afternoon, Mr. Stevens, along with Phillips, his lawyer, moved into the Square D. What's more, just as he'd requested, I didn't bother him, nor did he bother me. Finally, though, one evening about a month later, I had some business to discuss with him. So I went up to the main house, knocked on the door.
Hello, Archie. What's on your mind?
I just thought you'd like to know our cattle are about ready to ship.
so, go ahead and ship them. Why bother me?
Well, it means that I'll have to go to Kansas City for a few days.
But did you say Kansas City?
That's right. That's where our major market is.
Well, I don't like doing business in Kansas City, so ship them to St. Louis.
But, Mr. Stevens...
I said ship them to St. Louis.
Okay. You're the boss.
Yeah. Remember that. Oh, incidentally, you'll probably need some extra expense dough for the trip, so, yeah. Here's 500.
That won't be necessary. I can draw it from the ranch account.
So what? Take this anyway. Have yourself a ball.
Well, needless to say, all the boys were mighty confused when I told them we were shipping the cattle to St. Louis. Nevertheless, early the next morning, we started loading them into stock cars. And by nightfall, I was on my way by plane. Only I wasn't going to St. Louis with the cattle. You see, I decided to play a little hunch and go to Kansas City. Anyway, when I got there, some hours later, I checked into a small hotel, waited around till about 8 o'clock at night, then headed for a nightclub. A nightclub with the same name as the one on the cover of a match folder I'd picked up two nights before back at the Square D Ranch House.
Something I can do for you, Mac?
Oh, yeah, a glass of ginger ale.
With what, bourbon, scotch, or gin?
Lemon peel.
I know, but...
That's all. Just plain old lemon peel.
That's what I thought you said.
By the way, ever see the guy in this snapshot before?
Oh, now, look, pal, I see a thousand... Hey, where'd you get this?
You didn't answer my question.
Wait here a second. I'll be right back.
Well, I'd hit pay dirt. Now it was just a question of waiting around to find out how much. I didn't have to wait long, though. Less than 10 minutes later, a guy who looked like a well-dressed mashed potato walked up, sat down on the stool next to me.
I hear you got a picture of an old friend of ours. Is that right?
Or might have. Why?
Where is he?
Where's who?
Look, pal. If it's money you want, just say so. Just don't play dumb. It'll only get you messed up.
Suppose I like playing dumb.
In that case, you won't be too healthy when you leave here. That is, if you leave.
You know something? That's just the way I like to do... Believe me, I didn't waste any time in getting out of that place. But not without two guys getting a tag on me. In fact, they were still following me when I got back to St. Louis. 2 days later, the stock cars arrived and I wound up my business. Then, just as if I didn't suspect a thing, I got on the train, headed back home. My shadow's still on my tail. Next afternoon, Johnny Bond met me at the station with the ranch buckboard, which, just by chance, had a big square D written on the side of it. That was all my two friends needed. They headed right for a phone booth in the station. As for me, I went back to the ranch, told all the boys what had found out, then just waited for what I knew was bound to happen. Sure enough, right on schedule, the next night about 10 o'clock, a big black sedan pulled up in front of the ranch house and four men got out.
Mr. Stevens?
Huh? Oh, Slats Egan.
That's right. Me and a couple of the boys was just in the neighborhood, so we thought we'd drop by and say hello.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm glad you could. Well, what's new?
It's funny, isn't it? I was just going to ask you the same thing.
Well, come on in. Come on.
Thanks. Yeah, nice place you got here.
What do you want with me?
The same thing you wanted with a couple of my boys. Only we're going to make it much nicer and quicker.
No, wait a minute, Slats. Can't we kind of talk this over? Maybe we can make a deal, eh? Yeah, that's it. We'll go half and half on everything from here on, huh?
Squirm, chum, squirm. It still ain't going to do you a bit of good. What do you want it? In the front or the back?
All right, drop it, Egan.
What is this?
Get the guns, Johnny.
Right.
It's nice going, Autry. It's nice going. You've done me a great favor. This is going to mean a raise in pay for you and for all of your boys. Right now, though, if you'll just leave me and my friends alone for a while, I've got a little personal business to take care of.
I'm afraid it's not that simple, Mr. Stevens.
What do you mean?
Just what I said. You see, when I went to Kansas City last week, I took along a small snapshot of you.
So what?
Well, it seems you're pretty well known back there. I guess it's because your picture's been in the paper so many times. Only the name under the newspaper picture I saw wasn't Joe Stevens. It was Eddie Cardona.
Now, look,
you mean that there Kansas City gangster, Gene?
That's right, Johnny. The guy we've been working for is wanted by the Kansas City police for every crime in the book.
Now, look, Autry, don't be a fool. I'll make it with you. Why? I'll give you this ranch as a present.
Thanks, but I'm not interested in bargaining. Yeah, your bargaining days are over, Cardona. But I tell you what I will do.
Yeah, what?
Since you and Mr. Egan are such good friends, I'll try and fix it so you can share the same cell. In a vine-covered shack in the mountain, bravely fighting the battle of time, is a dear one who's weathered life's sorrow. Is that silver-haired daddy of mine? If I could recall all the heartache, dear old daddy, I cause you to bear. If I could erase those lines from your face and bring back the gold to your hair, if God would but grant me the power just to turn back the pages of time, I'd give all I own if I could but atone to that silver-haired daddy of mine. If I could recall all the heartache, dear old daddy, I'd call you to bed. If I could erase those lines from your face and bring back the gold to your hair, if God would but grant me the power just to turn back the pages of time, I'd give all I own if I could but atone to that silver-haired daddy of mine.
Until we're back in the saddle, where a